Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have 1 hour to take a humble idea and turn it into a pitch for an awesome movie, TV show. I am your host, who is not quite sure what we're about to do, because we don't even know that yet, Freddie Wong.
My name is Will Campos, and my mind is a blank canvas, a still pond, an ocean with no waves.
All right, there you go, Matt. Finally, you get to do your own thing. Let's hear it.
I'm Matt Arnold, and I'm very tired.
What?
Boo. Don't start the podcast Boo. By saying that's you're
bad.
Tired.
That's bad juju.
Bad
that's bad
form.
Energy.
I'm Matt. I don't give a shit about
this
podcast.
Don't give a shit about this podcast. You have to go again now. Go.
Hey, everybody. My name is Matt Arnold. I'm very fucking tired.
Much better. Much better.
All right. Well, we are going to roll a random.
Yeah.
Topic.
So a little backstory.
Yeah.
A little pre-podcast lore. We haven't been able to decide what to do this week, but we have a sheet with 90 ideas on it. So we're going to roll the bones. A lot of your suggestions are in here. And so we're going to roll the bones and do a random number generator. Matt, 1 to 90.
1 to 90?
And give me a number, and we'll see what we're doing this week.
You can do this on Google, by the way. That's what's so cool about this. You just type into Google. Hey, Google. Give me a random number between
are you
one.
Ready for the number?
Yes. 90. The number is...
In the 10 space, it's a 3. Go down to those 30s, Will. The... What do you call the
first, ones digit.
The ones digit.
Is it?
It's not a 1.
It's not a 1.
It's not a 3.
Oh, man.
It's a 2.
32, ladies and
32.
Gentlemen.
32.
Which on our list is, Will?
Moving Day Thriller.
Sorry, okay. What is that?
This thriller. Is very apropos because we're moving out of our office right now. Yeah. We're doing a whole movie. Moving Day Thriller, this was my idea. All I had in my head was to do a poster. It's basically like a Hitchcockian thriller, but it's set during a move. Like, you know, like when you're moving your apartment.
Right, right.
So
right.
To me, the poster was it's like a man and a woman carrying like a big, heavy refrigerator down this really steep staircase. And then the movie essentially is like, it's moving day. They're packing up all their shit to get out to go to a new apartment or something like that. And then secrets start coming out of the woodworks. There's a little note slipped behind the couch that's like, what's going on? And so it's all about this couple. And then they, you know, they have this seemingly great relationship, but then like it slowly starts to dissipate over the course of the day. Kind of, you know, like again, because it's like moving days are like a real trial by fire. Like it's a real stressful thing to go through in a relationship.
I like this. That's cool.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I will say the last thing I will say about Moving Day Thriller was that my idea was essentially the poster was the climax would be like they both have realized like this super shocking shit about each other. And it's like this like tense confrontation as they're carrying this really heavy object. And then like the idea is like, is one of them going to, you know, push them down the stairs and murder them by like making, you have the perfect opportunity to make it look like an accident by like, dropping the refrigerator or whatever.
I remember at my grandparents' house, one time my dad tricked us to going up to, my grandparents live up in the mountains and that's like the only place we ever vacationed.
Just pause for 1 second. This literally does sound like you are about to admit to murdering someone.
Nope.
Like this is the exact setup to that. You know that,
no,
right?
But like, so my dad was like, hey guys, let's go up to Bear Valley and you know, just chill. Just you, just you two and me. I'm like, okay. And then we get there, and he's like, oh, by the way, the reason you're up here is because I need help moving this bathtub up the stairs.
Oh, my God.
Like a clawfoot?
Like a real...
That is like an Agatha Christie level twist.
Yeah,
like I've gathered you all here for one sinister purpose. This is just
me and my little brother.
This cast
and we're
iron
carrying
bathtub.
Out this, yes, this giant
is it cast iron? Yeah.
Yeah, just one of those... Yeah.
Clawfoot?
Yeah, you just lay it in. It was very,
you know,
scary.
They do it out of fiberglass these days and that don't weigh shit.
Oh really?
Yeah,
this, that's how normal this weighed shit. It was very, very heavy.
Okay.
Anyways, I don't know where I was going with that other than like my dad could have killed us both if he wanted to.
Anyway,
do these people have kids? Or a kid.
So that was actually that just leapt to my mind, which would be, is this like a family thing? Is this a roommate thing? Because you could also do two roommates, right? Like, and it's these, you know, two people that are going to betray each other over the course of the
day. I feel
day.
Like if you're going to do uncovering secrets, you probably do family because there's, you know, more like roommates feels like they probably live together for like a couple years or something.
Yeah.
Feels like you want that like long term, like, you know.
Juicy
cobwebs.
Secrets.
Yeah.
Oh, what it's a funny. Tangled web.
When you said Moving Day Thriller, by the way, not that we would do this because I think what you're saying is more interesting. I just assumed it was like they hire a moving company and they come in and they're like, we're bad guys.
and they
like rob
them. Oh, you know what you could do a movie about? Uh-huh. Okay, this is kind of jettisoning that, but it's keeping the spirit of moving days. You hear about this all the time where people will rob an entire house by coming. They know when the family's on vacation and they roll up in a moving truck. And then they just make it look like the Petersons are moving out, and they just fucking in broad daylight jack every single item from these people's house.
Okay. Here's a thought. Okay. You could do there's these lovable crooks, and that is their thing. And they go to move this rich person's house.
Mm-hmm. It's their big score.
It's a big score. And this rich person's gone, and they start robbing it, and then they start uncovering weird shit in this house.
Like, what
the
fuck is
this? You do the moving day, guys, they start finding all this weird shit. And you know, it's one of those rich-ass houses that have, you know, a gate and, you know, a big driveway that goes up to it.
Like an elevator.
And... yeah, and they're like, we gotta get out of here, and they're gonna get in their car, and all of a sudden the gate's closed, and then, like, the guy is there, and you do, it's like a reverse. They then use his house to defend themselves from him, and he is just, like, they can't escape.
Or like, they get trapped by his smart home or something
like exactly.
that.
And they're all trapped, and then he's just, like, picking them off one by one. It's like a horror film.
So it turns into fun comedy heist into horror movie.
It strikes me that, all right, you got, all right, let's say it's a family.
Yeah, I like the family melodrama.
The family, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have someone, it seems to me you're inciting incident, and if we do this as the nuclear family, this is, you know, two parents, two kids. Mm-hmm. Someone discovers something when they're moving a couch. Some long-lost thing. Right.
Yeah, it's like maybe the kid discovers evidence of, say, infidelity from the...
It seems like it's a cryptic note or something like that. Do you know what I mean? And...
sorry. In my head, it was just like, and the kid discovers a note, and then they have to steal the Declaration of Independence. It's a fun Da Vinci Code-esque story. Sorry. Go. Sorry.
So, I don't know. And then it would be this kid pulling the thread, or she's pulling the thread to try to figure out what's going on. And then secrets start coming out, and then, like, one of the parents is a bad guy. This is a spy.
Okay, hold on. You just put an idea in my head. The idea of, like, here's a bunch of kids, and it's like they're adopted, maybe, or like, okay. If you rolled it all up, so the kid's like, yeah, these are my parents, and then it's like, okay, you discover that you're adopted. But what's even crazier? You discover you're adopted because you've been adopted because these people are Russian spies who have gotten kids as a plant,
like a deep cover, like or something,
super deep cover. They've been here for 20 years, and you're just like, wait a minute,
oh shit, that's
like it's not
cool,
just like
actually.
It's not just, oh, I'm adopted. It's like, my parents are enemies of the state. I'm being used as a pawn, and I've been led to believe this whole life. That's kind of cool, right?
That's so interesting.
It's like Crazy Spy Kids. It's like,
real.
The spy kid doesn't realize he's a spy kid, and by spy, we mean like real fucking spies.
So, yeah, it would be like...
It's interesting. I know it does not really sort of speak to any... You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it speaks to any sort of core emotional truth of how people feel about families. But the idea of, like, you know, it's like, I'm adopted. These aren't my real parents. Plus, I have to kill them.
All right. I like that. And I like that you would do... Because it's like, what was that movie, Goodnight Mommy or something like that, where it's like the two brothers and the mom comes home from plastic surgery and like she's got her face covered, and then they slowly become convinced that it's not their mom under the mask.
No, what is this?
It was like this German horror movie, and I was like, this sounds like, I never saw it, but I was like, it was the most dope trailer. I just like made my skin crawl. I think it was called Goodnight Mommy. I can't, or Goodnight Mother. Ooh. Or something like that. But yeah, it was like these two little kids, and then their mom goes off for plastic surgery. And when she comes back, she has all these bandages over her face, so you can't see her face. And she's acting super weird. And they're like, "What the fuck is up with mom?" And they're like, "That's not our mom under there." Like, I was like, that idea of your parent not being who your parent is really creepy, right?
Yeah.
So like, all right,
and it's setting is like you're the most helpless. You know
yeah,
what
you're
mean?
Like, what the fuck? Yeah,
just another just an image or an idea to throw out there is our favorite movie, Equilibrium. One thing I always liked about that
talk about Equilibrium enough on this podcast. Yeah.
Talk about Equilibrium.
It's that moment where the kid, it's him scared of his kid. Like So if you're following it from the point of view of a kid, it should be like his older or younger sister is clearly already indoctrinated.
Oh.
Like they don't trust him yet because, like, you know, he's got soft American ideals or whatever. And when he figures it out, he turns around and his sister's staring at him. He's like, "Hello, brother, what did you find?" This is like that kid who's already been indoctrinated.
We should, by the way, just set the story in Russia and it's Americans. It's American Spies. And this kid's like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, but here's what I get out of this, which is, I think is kind of cool, which is the idea of this family has molded themselves to the perfect American suburban ideal. Do you know what I mean? Like, that iconography needs to start in, like, just perfectly hewn lawns. Like, the kid is, like, mowing lawns and delivering. Like, right? It's, like, it's everything. It's super Americana. Mm-hmm. And that's what gets, you know, twisted and turned.
There should be a neighbor who is clearly CIA or FBI.
Yeah.
And it's like this creepy neighbor who's like, it starts with him like mowing the lawn. This guy,
you think this guy's
him.
Creepy? Yeah.
And then it's like this kid. Then this guy is like, yes, like passing him notes, and all of a sudden, like, you know, he's playing on the swing set, and he hears like a rustling like through the fence, and the guy's like sends him a message, you know, and the kid's like, what the fuck is going on? He's like, don't tell your parents.
Oh yeah. Well, and especially if you were gonna do the parents are. Like, they know their cover's been blown.
Yeah.
And so they know they're getting the fuck out of Dodge.
Yeah.
And, like, they are using the moving day as cover to, like, slip state secrets out or something like that. Do you know what I mean? And this, that's really fun.
Okay. Oh, like, the movers are their handlers a little bit,
right?
Like,
oh, yo, that's great, because, then the movers are these two fucking huge goons, and you're like, these guys are KGB for sure. Yeah. They've got, he sees the slip of the tattoo or whatever, and he's like, oh, man, like, what the hell's going on?
What I like in terms of like a metaphor, it's like a loss of like political or international relations in a sense. It's like you're coming up and again you're just confused. It's like you don't know what to believe like out there anymore, like politics or the news or anything. As this kid just coming into this like international warfare and having to figure it out on his own and try to make the right decision.
Okay, I'm gonna throw it because you made me think about the P tape. We're not gonna get into P tape stuff.
Okay,
but like,
how did I make you think about the P tape?
Because
you kind of have to be primed for that on your own, my man.
No. Because you were talking about international relations, and to me, like, again, like the metaphor, if you were to talk about the metaphor to me is not okay. I'm gonna get political just for a second. It's like not knowing if our president is compromised by the fucking Russian government. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like the idea of like beyond whether we're gonna, it's not a specific allegory for Trump, but like the idea that like our government is run by people that we have no idea what their real loyalty
or
is,
or how
right?
they got, it's like, it's almost like
so
a how they got
bear
there,
with me kinda, you do the kid, like the mom died a couple years ago, right? And the dad got this new wife. And it's like a Cinderella type thing. It's like the evil stepmom or whatever. But then you would do that, like, the dad was a shitty businessman who went on a trip to Russia, and they got kompromat on him. And then, like, his wife found out about it and was going to blow the whistle, and they fucking murked her. And so it's like a total recall situation going on. The kid doesn't know about where his dad is trying to maintain this, like, normal-ass American life, but he's got, like, a Russian... agent as you know, like sleeping in bed with him and keeping an eye on him, and he's got to, because he works at the State Department or whatever, he's become a double agent for the Russian government, and all while his children have no idea what's going on.
What's interesting about that is there could be small things that we know this is weird, but like the kids don't, right? So you're just like, yeah, mommy and daddy have separate bedrooms.
It might be too complicated. Yeah, it might be more fun if they're just both spies.
Yeah. So have you guys seen Fallen Idol?
No, what's Fallen
Carol
Idol?
Carol Reed, masterpiece. It gets overlooked by Third Man, which is also a great movie. Yeah. But Fallen Idol is one of my favorite films, and it's all from the point of view of this kid. He's like this, it's an allegory for a bunch of stuff. But he's this rich kid, and he loves his butler. And his butler tells him all these wild stories the whole time. So like, he's his hero. He's like, I went to Africa and like, you know, hunted elephants. It was cool back in the 40s to do that. And like, I traveled across the ocean and I was like a warrior and I, you know, fought in this war and I met the president and all this stuff. But like, we start realizing kind of slowly that he's in this unhappy marriage. And what happens is like
the butler. Okay.
And he's having an affair with his younger woman who he tells the kid is his niece. So the kid doesn't think anything of it, but then he sees them sleeping together and it kind of shatters. It's the fallen idol, but he's so consumed by the idea that this guy's his hero. The niece accidentally falls to her death. And the cops are investigating him for murder, but he's so obsessed with his hero that he tries to help him. But in helping him, the kid slowly makes him look more and more like he murdered him, and the guy ends up going to prison.
Oh shit.
So it's this like crazy look at like innocence, and then like the guy is a bad guy, but the kid hanging on to this ideal actually makes it worse for him. And at the end, it's like the fallen idol literally is sent out to prison for a murder he didn't commit, but he did actually commit adultery.
Yeah.
So like the idea of like this kid again, just like we kind of we're examining all this from like our own point of view, but it's really from the point of view of the kid, can just be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Other than
that, all sounds interesting. That sounds like something we would say when we were pitching it, and we hadn't quite figured it out yet. But we want to get the executive like excited about it. Like, ooh, that all sounds interesting. That's a cool movie.
What does that have to do with
your
movie?
I don't know that movie. I feel insecure that you referenced a movie I don't reference, but I'm going to pretend like I knew it. Cool. All right. Yeah.
So like that has this initial initial status, which is like this kid has this idol.
Yes.
He has this, and that's what's going to. So like again, it's like, is his dad a superhero to him? Mm-hmm. Is, you know, does he love his
yeah,
parents?
Yeah, I think it's like take the thing where it's like you learn that your dad doesn't know everything.
Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Along those lines,
it's also a dark metaphor for realizing your parents are human beings.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So, but it is like if his dad or her dad or mm-hmm. where we figure that all in a second. The kid's dad is works at the State Department.
Yeah.
Or is like a G-man or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they're like, my dad punched out Adolf Hitler. I'm assuming we're setting this in the 60s. That's just the first place my mind left because we were talking about Cold War stuff. Oh.
You can just do it today.
That's true too.
Yeah.
At any rate, the dad is like, again, the kid idolizes the father.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I like that because, again, this is going to get to the point where he realizes his dad is the worst thing possible.
Yeah.
Not even a spy who's a patriot to their country, but a traitor to his own country and to his own family, right? And that dark arc, I think, is really interesting.
I like that. Who's this kid?
I mean, I think you definitely have the kid go through the sort of usual stuff around the move, right? Like, don't have to find new friends, don't have to, you know, retransplant, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like you want to be kind of like middle school, right? There's definitely an age where it gets so young that you're like, from a filmmaking standpoint, you're like, is this just the idealized kid version of what's going on, or is this what really is going
on? To me, like fifth grade.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like middle school, like going from elementary school to middle school is like, that's like, it's a jump. Like middle school kids are hardcore. And when you're an elementary school kid, but like you're a fifth grader, like you think you know how the world works, right? Like, cause you're like, at least I don't know how school worked for you, but for me, fifth grade was last year of elementary school and then sixth grade was junior high.
Yeah.
So like nothing was more brutal for me than the fifth grade to sixth grade jump. Cause you went from finally feeling like you were on your own 2 feet to then like being the fucking biggest
bottom
baby,
of the totem pole
like crying every day, terrified by the world kind of shit. Yeah. So I like that. I like it being this fifth grader, right? And I remember fifth grade was when I was learning about the government and politics.
Yeah.
Like that was when I really started to get into that stuff. I was very patriotic in fifth grade. So yeah, I don't know. Fifth grader.
Fifth grade, and he is... What is he doing?
So, okay, we got to talk about the dad, actually, for a second, because I feel like the kid you can work around, but like figuring out what the actual political thriller plot is for a second.
Okay. It's a family of deep cover spies.
Are we doing that, or are we doing the compromised businessman thing?
I mean, even if the wife is deep cover and he's compromised, like they are in embedded Russian spies.
Okay.
And then so yes, they are moving because their cover is blown.
Yeah, but if their cover was blown, like how much time do they have to move? Like
why are they moving?
Cover is blown by who? Like what does that mean? Do you know what I mean?
They're moving because they have a dirty bomb and it's gonna go off. So they're getting out of the place before they blow it up.
Oh shit.
I don't know.
But why don't they just do a road trip? Why can't they just be like, hey kids, let's go camping?
Well, because they still need a new house.
It's good, true. Thinking ahead, that's fair.
Yeah.
So
because it can end with a kid driving away with his family that he now knows are all bad guys, and he's looking out the window like it's a family vacation, and the bomb goes off. It's like that's
Sets
our
you
world.
Up for that sequel.
It's like that's our world.
Okay, all right. So there's a nuke.
Yeah.
Okay.
They successfully have a nuke ready to go.
All right. So there's a bomb that's gonna go off. There's a nuke that's gonna go off in every town USA.
Yes.
And they are going to...
They're moving.
So they're moving to get out of town before that happens. Yeah.
They keep doing winky things to each other. It's like, it's a good thing they're moving because I've heard this town's going to the shits. Sorry.
And they're gonna time this move to within seconds of the nuke going off, huh?
No, not within seconds. Well, that would be the escalation.
Right.
Like, the escalation... No, they're going to move and then they're going to set off the nuke, like... the next day.
From
but then you would do that. The kid starts talking to the neighbor who's actually a CIA and starts escalating, and it essentially turns into
okay. All right, all right. I'm gonna make one more pitch for this being the 60s.
Okay.
Okay. So just bear with me, because it would be like the problem with the whole thing with mutually assured destruction is like the second you launch your missiles,
mm-hmm.
they're gonna launch their missiles.
Yeah.
It's the only way to get a leg up. In a MADS, mutually assured, is for the bomb to just go off before they know it's there.
Yeah.
It's to get the bomb there and blow it up
and
take out a vital resource.
Yeah.
And then you've got the upper hand, right?
Yeah.
So, like, maybe that's the operation, essentially.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That can still be today.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you. It's all the same today.
But it's scary
but
to
Matt,
me
the
today.
Cold
and that's why.
War
that's
ended.
Why it's good.
Okay.
Because
if it's
the 60s, like, oh, that's the stuff. It's like, no, we got nukes. That's the same situation.
Okay, all right. But it would be something like that, essentially, right? Like, you can't launch a missile because you can't, you're going to find out, right?
Yes.
So it's like, how do you sneak into America?
I also like the slow reveal. What you would do is also, it's like these places that have missile silos and stuff like that, they're like out in the middle of nowhere.
But Colorado has a bunch, right?
So that's like, that would be also the fun reveal as you realize this is like one of those places that has like, you know, a missile factory right nearby.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's again, it's like
or
this,
silo right by.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like every town, USA, you know, Norman Rockwell, Americana, mm-hmm. right on the edge of nuclear apocalypse. Like also right next to them is the ability to end the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Russian spies.
You could do another thing if you didn't want to do nukes is you uh-huh. could do like Department of Energy is what the dad works for.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an inspector or something like that. And you do this nuclear power plant. And then there's like a virus that's going to make all the nuclear power
like
plants
meltdown.
In America meltdown simultaneously.
Some real Stuxnet shit.
Yeah.
Like some Stuxnet.
I would just
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I would do it of the area because it's also I like the idea. The ending being like the kid's home is destroyed.
Yeah.
Like it is ended
cool.
in essentially what is an apocalypse of you know magnitude and science.
Oh, because you
that
do
a kid
okay.
doesn't understand like
okay because you do this. You do this.
The kid is us. If you guys don't realize, that's what I'm saying.
You do that again. It's like they're building a dirty bomb in the basement, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like a 0 day type thing where like when all the clocks strike midnight, six of these fucking things are gonna go off,
mm-hmm.
right? All over the United States. Boom, 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 boom. Total wipeout. Right. Move in. Take over. Checkmate. So then you do, they're part of this bigger scheme or something like
mm-hmm.
that. And then you do, so they get these packages and it's the parts for the bomb, just one by one coming in for them to build it in the basement. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like this has been going on for years, right?
Yeah.
And so then you would do like, and then maybe one of the packages gets mixed up with like the shit they're moving or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you do, so the last thing that they have to do was the dad, who's Department of Energy guy, has to steal enriched uranium from work and bring it home and to put it in the bomb to arm the nuke or something like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
And so they're going to do
just,
that,
by the way,
and then
just,
he's got to get the fuck out of town.
I would just keep it small. Like, who cares about the others? Like, just
all
have,
right, sure,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's just, this is, because again, I would do, yes, it's like, they're going to blow it up. It's a sign of terrorism. But it's also like, again, like, if you live in like La Cunada, California, it's just a small town. It's right next to JPL. So I remember when they would talk about like, if there was a nuclear war, it's like, yeah, like Los Angeles and stuff's important, but actually like of strategic value, like hitting La Cunada is
that's interesting
because that's where JPL is. Jet Propulsion
Laboratory.
Let's do that.
Let's do JPL. That's
yeah.
Fun.
So
yeah.
like, it's like, it's, so this idea is that yes, this Russian spy is going to blow up his town with a nuke or a mm-hmm. dirty bomb because it's also going to destroy JPL. It's going to be a huge terrorist action, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's going to destroy an incredibly strategic location.
Okay. All right.
And
all right.
They're moving to get out of there.
Okay.
And his kid's just bummed out because he's moving. He doesn't realize that his family, his mom, his dad, and his older sister are all gonna kill all of his friends.
So the older sister's in on it?
Yeah, I would do that. I would do that. Would be like the creepy turn where at first he thinks she's like, "Oh my god, my parents too," and then you know he locks the door and starts chanting the Russian national anthem or something.
That's not at all how that would work. But sure,
are we stereotyping Russians? Should we make it someone else?
We're stereotyping KGB mean Russians.
Okay, no, but like that's saying like, hey, I'm not stereotyping Muslims. I'm just stereotyping terrorists. Like, do you know what I mean?
I mean, you could do a thing about ISIS.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do ISIS either. I'm just trying to. This is I think the problem that James Bond movies run into now.
Can we just get generic bad guys for now, just so we can keep moving?
Sure, it's
on
an unnamed country.
It's Spectre.
Again, I to the point, I don't think it really matters. Like,
okay.
I think it is a, and honestly, like, I wouldn't do it. I mean, to not to dismiss that. I think it might be too trite to be like, oh, these are clearly Russians. I think what matters is just especially from the kid's point of view, it's unknown. It's just, it is an enemy of the state.
Yes. Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
It's an enemy of order, right?
Yeah. Okay, so yes, it's an evil bad guy organization.
Yes.
A consortium. It's a private intelligence. It's a private spy army that works for the highest bidder, and a whole bunch of bad guys have kicked in money to hire them to blow up America.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I can deal with that.
So instead of just one, it's every terrorist.
Yeah, it's like it's like when they execute a guy, they all, only one guy's got the real bullet.
Yeah.
Okay, so then in terms of the story, do you do something like the mom died and then the dad remarried and it was like a Brady Bunch where he remarried this new woman and she's got a daughter or something like that?
You could,
or he's got a daughter and she's got a son, and then you do it's like a Cinderella. No, again, like it's Cinderella. It's like a KGB Cinderella movie.
I guess the only thing I'd say is like, if you're gonna do it from this kid is moving, I like if it's just his family. Like, I feel like the secret story. I mean, again, maybe he realizes that his dad was married before. Have that stuff. Like, if you already have like the stepmom and like the stepsister,
know something.
It's like they're bad. Like, let this be about discovering
fair enough.
Family is different than you thought it was.
Okay. So, and is it like this is his real mother or something like that?
Yeah, maybe that's what you would do. It's like he realizes that's not his real mom.
Okay, so like this would have been right when he was like, she died when he was really young.
Yes.
Like before he could really remember
her.
And then you would do like, he has these vague memories of he thought, he could have sworn mom had brown hair.
Yeah.
And the mom's mom like, has blonde hair.
And the mom's like, like as time goes on, your hair changes color.
Yeah. And it's like, wait, what? That doesn't make sense. Yeah.
As in science, then, I was just thinking, like, do you start with, it is like the last day of school? And they're moving today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because I just want to start with a bunch of kids doing the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
And then he's saying bye to everybody.
Yeah,
and everybody
else
is saying, like, see you next summer. And they're like, oh, I guess not you, Timmy.
Yeah.
And then the girl he likes is like, hey, do you mind if I come over and help you guys move or whatever? And he's like, hell yeah. You get this little cute, like, kid romance. Of course, you totally reveal this girl is the daughter of CIA guy. She's there to figure shit out. But then, like, the dad comes, and then he brings this friend over. He's like, what the hell? Like, we got to move. He's like, no, she's just here to help. Like, come on, dad. Like, I'm leaving. Like, let me just hang out with my friend like one last time or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you have this
and
like
then
little
Snide
complication.
Older sister's like your girlfriend.
It just starts with the older sister's like, oh, your girlfriend's like, oh, be quiet. It's like we're the and he's started trying to see if she wants to remain pen pals and whatnot while he goes again, just dealing with normal kid stuff.
I like that.
And she totally is a. Bad
yeah,
guy.
You do the thing. Where it's like, well, you know,
or
maybe,
not bad guy.
Maybe
I don't know about that though.
Yeah.
I don't know about doing that. She's a plant. Because,
yeah, I guess
like,
you don't need to.
Because then she's in charge of the story. She already knows what's up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
like, let her be some of the stakes.
She's part of the stakes that get caught in the crossfire. Yeah. Let's. Do you want a gender flip? So
is a guy.
It's a guy who's the damsel who's gonna be. Because I feel like this girl is not gonna be the damsel in distress.
Make the main character a young girl.
Okay, so main character's a young girl, and then it's her older brother.
Yeah,
and then you have the guy that she has a crush on in school comes over. To like help move, right? And her dad's like, who's this asshole, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's my friend from school. Give me a break. He's like, gee Wilkers, I just want to help you guys move
out. Also, I think it's really rude that you called me an asshole, sir. But...
all right, so end of act, what does she find? Like, what's the thing that's like, that's weird? And I like the idea of the picture of the mom.
Yeah.
Or I like that, like something.
It's got to be a picture. It's got to be a family picture of her, like, but it's a different woman.
Exactly.
Like
totally different.
That's
and
not
it's,
my
And it's
mom.
Like behind the couch or it's like in a,
yes.
it's like, you know, like a time capsule. Like the mom. Oh, because you. Yes. Because the mom made a time capsule and hid it in the house. Do you know what I mean? And she was going to surprise everyone with it. She didn't tell the husband about it.
Oh,
it was under one of the floorboards. So yeah, when they're moving, they like, again, like the thing breaks. And then her and her boyfriend or like the guy she likes. And they open it up like, what is this? Oh, cool. It's a little time capsule. They open it. It's their dad with a different mom and her. And we'll figure out the older brother in a second.
Yeah.
With a different woman than her. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is this?
The name
and
is then, different too. Like,
dear, yeah, the
and
name
it's like
is
a letter
different.
To her.
Yeah. Okay, I really like
that's
that.
Really good.
Yeah.
So, yes. And then this guy who's like, I'm going to hang out with this girl. I like her. It's like, it's that classic. Well, I don't know if it's classic, but it's like, oh, I'm going to go to my new girlfriend's house. And she just found out she's adopted. Like, that's awkward. So it's like.
So I guess I should leave.
So, yes, I like that she finds out. Nothing could be worse. She's already, her life is already upended. She's moving.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that she likes is like finally hanging out with her, but she's moving.
Yeah.
And then she finds out either she's adopted or that's not her mom or her mom's different. Like, it's weird. So she goes and talks to her dad, right?
That would she would go and be like, "Dad, what is this?
Who's this?"
So what does the dad do?
It's his reaction that says everything, right? Yeah. Like, it's at first it would be,
oh, he's
like,
"That's your Aunt Janie."
Yeah,
I never told you about your Aunt Janie. Yeah, she died.
I'll tell you more about it when
later. Let's talk about it later. We're not going to talk about it right now.
But she has the letter. But she also has the letter.
Oh, because he takes the time capsule.
No, he doesn't take the time capsule. She just shows him the picture. And in telling her what this is, he lies. Right? She knows he's lying because she's like, that's not my aunt. She, right? Because she had a letter for... There's a bunch of stuff in the time capsule.
Well, here's my only thing is, do you want there to be a letter that spells out the whole mystery?
No. The letter should just be like, you know, honey, like so-and-so, I remember. It's just it's a nice letter from a mom to a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's signed a different name. It's not Janie or anything.
Yeah, I would do...
Because then she'd be like, Janie? Well, then who is... This, yeah, the name there.
Oh, that's the next thing she says. Well, then who is this? And the dad's like,
I would let her keep one thing, like she pockets something, or even the boyfriend's still looking.
Because you could do the actually, you know what you could do?
Because the dad's just like, it's like, no, we'll talk about this later. No, let me pack it up and make sure we don't lose this because this is very important. And he puts it away because he doesn't want to deal with
that. I like
but
that. But
the boyfriend kept something.
Yeah,
and he's like, my dad just said this. He's like, and then they're looking, and then I feel like the next step would be they start investigating the mom. They're like.
Oh, because there's
what
old
do you know about your mom? And then they like try to go through the mom's photos and stuff.
Okay, so yes, you do. There's old family photo albums, right?
And me and my boyfriend are gonna go hang up, are gonna go help out and
in the den,
in the attic.
And so yes, there's old.
And the older sister's like, ooh, going in the attic, and they're like, yeah, don't you know, don't come in here because we might be smooching. And he's like, we're gonna smooch. Like, no, we gotta find out about my mom.
Yeah. So yeah, you do.
We're not smooching.
So you do. Okay, so here's what's great, because then you do. They go up to the attic, and then they cut the. They're going through the boxes. Now they gotta unpack stuff, right? They're looking because like, what the hell's going on? And then they find fucking spy shit up there.
Yeah.
And then that's when they look and the fucking the mom is like her eyes
over
the door just like sinks back down and like, what the fuck is happening in this family?
Yeah. Or not even I would do if you're gonna do the mom shows up, it's like the mom, they turn around, the mom says there's like, oh hey honey, you found my old did I ever tell you about the time I was in the military? It's again like let her play commanding and creepy.
And they're just
trying to hang again. All they're trying to do is get the daughter to stop looking at stuff so they can get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the idea too that again it's slow burn definitely over the course of this. But boys, they have the name of this actual woman, right? Who was her real mom.
Oh, they Google
it. Like they'll start looking it up and be like, she died in the year, 1986. That would be
2 years after I was born. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And she's like, whoa, like miss, woman disappears from town so and so, and she's like, what is, and it's like, it's a picture of her dad even in the paper or something like that. And it's just, it's like, it's all the stuff that's like very clearly letting her know that like, this was a woman who died. And at first, I think, right, you have to escalate in terms of what they discover. It's not spy stuff and military stuff right away. It's at first, maybe dad killed mom, maybe dad,
your end of your third act is the realization or like, again, in
end
the
of your
attic.
Third act or end of your second act?
I feel like eventually it would escalate to the point. I feel like it's the end of your if we're doing five acts, it'd be the end of your third act. I feel like the big, or I guess not.
I'm just saying, like, what is the, like, okay, now the adventure is on. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm
I feel like once
right
they,
now.
I think the adventure is once they find this time capsule, they start investigating and it's escalating. Again, it's a slow burn. Like, they are looking for stuff. You're right. They haven't.
Here's what I would say.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's like, it's more like the second act is them trying to figure out what's going on with this time capsule.
Yeah.
And then they ask the dad about it. And the dad lies, right?
It's
like, okay, my parents are lying to me. And then you do like, maybe there is a room they're not supposed to go into or something like that. And they're like, we got to get into that room and see what's up there.
Yes. I was going to say that eventually they would find that they're pretty sure their mom, the original, her actual mom died under mysterious circumstances. And this is not what you would actually do in the movie, but it'd be like, she died under mysterious circumstances, but they found some chemical in her called JZB. And then they're up in the attic and they find a little capsule of JZB. And like, oh my God, my dad, like they killed my mom. And then she turns out like, hey, what did you find there? And they're like, nothing. And they hold it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I feel like you get your like capture moment where she's like, you're grounded until we fucking move or whatever, and they like lock the door or something like that. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, I feel like it's just, I'm like, I want to turn the heat up more. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? When does the spy stuff start coming in? Do you know what I mean?
That like, has to be a turn, like you're midway.
I don't know. I mean, that's pretty late.
You think?
Like, do you know what I mean? Well, like,
you get the heat from dad killed mom.
It depends on what you're doing because, like, it's again, not to literally say Fallen Idol, but like Fallen Idol is like a slow burn and it builds, like, especially like an old Hitchcock movie, like it's a slow build and then like the bomb goes off and that's it. Like, if you're gonna do that, like spies and people start shooting or they're chasing each other, it's a different sort of movie. And also, it's like you have to get into like, are people, are the neighbors not noticing and stuff like that. I feel like this is like a slow psychological burn of like manipulation and locking her in a room and the boyfriend like getting angry and like leaving, and then she has nobody to help her, and then like the older sister's manipulating her and like, you know, taking care of her, and then she notices that her older sister says something that she didn't know.
Sure, I feel like it's that
yeah, and then it gets to like your final,
almost like a Rosemary's Baby almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Rosemary's, it's like, and then by the end you're like, oh my god, this is crazy.
Mother.
Yeah, or Mother. Yeah. Okay. I like that. I think you do, and 15 minutes in, she discovers the time capsule, and she's like, that's really weird, and then she asks her dad about it, and his answer doesn't make any sense, and he takes the thing away, but the boyfriend swiped something.
Yes.
Right? The letter from the mom, and it's got the mom's real name on it.
Yeah.
And so now it's going to be like, who is this woman? What happened to her? How do we figure out what's going on?
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, then they go, they Google her, and they find out she died.
Yeah.
And they, right around the time she would have been one or two. Do you know what I mean? Like the age of the photo. Like, like, my God, this photo. Well, the photo can't be from the day she died, but it's like the photo's like from a week before she died.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because then you could do this double twist with something in the background of the photo. They zoom in on the photo. And who is it? It's the new mom.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Because she was been shadowing the dad, trying to like wait for this infiltration to happen. Do you know what I mean?
I'm trying to think of scenes because like there's that thing. Because again, they're also like trying to move. So you have that thing where like while she's trying to do stuff, the dad's like, again, the parents are getting mad at her. They're like, what the hell are you doing? Like, pack up their stuff.
Come on. Your room is not packed yet.
Yeah. And if you're doing like that heavy thing, it's like she's carrying, her and her boyfriend are carrying a heavy thing down with her dad's like, you know, you need to just like stop upsetting your mom so much. You know, as they're like moving down. She's like, my dad's crazy or whatever.
Okay. We'll say, so yes, act three then is this investigation, essentially, is this sort of like paranoia thriller. She's finding more secrets in the house. She's searching, you know, like the, and we're starting, again, they go up to the attic, they try to find the photo books, but then they find this weird government stuff. And they're like, what the hell is that? Is that for my dad's job? Yeah. I don't understand.
Where it's a different language, maybe.
They,
you know?
I feel like that turn has to, there has to be like, that has to build to a confrontation, and that has to build
Dad
to
has
a,
to know, they know.
Yeah, but it also needs to, like, you know, like, I think you also do the, like, that's your twist, right? Where, like, they think it's one thing, and then it turns out to be something even crazier, right?
Yeah.
So if this is all building to dad killed mom, and that's the confrontation, I think the turn is, no, mom killed mom, or something like that. Or, like, you know, like, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, I feel like the, at a certain point, I feel like the turn, because, like, whether or not, I feel like whether or not the dad or the mom did, I think it's, you get that, whether, I don't know, for example, like, if the older sister is responsible for packing up the basement or something, it'd be, what?
Okay, there's something out there. There's this one room in the house they're not allowed in.
Yeah, right, so in the basement.
And then you do, they never found the body of the mom. Mm-hmm. And they think the mom is in the basement.
But it's a nuke.
And they're like, what the shit is this?
And I wonder, do you want like the FBI, do you want somebody, do you want this creepy neighbor?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Because I feel like a certain thing is like that person would be
that's
like.
That's a very Home Alone 2 device that's very important.
Yeah, and it should be this creepy neighbor that's always been creepy. Like you set the neighbor up like while she comes home.
Yeah, he's watching her.
And he's like, oh, that fucking perv over there.
Yeah.
And then you tell kids, don't, like, pervs aren't pervs. They're just FBI.
Trust your creepy neighbor.
Trust those creepy neighbors.
Don't listen to your parents when they say don't talk to strangers.
But yes, I feel like he would be like, look in the basement. Why aren't you moving the basement? And like, what? And like, then it's like the realization, like the sister has been moving the basement, like moving the stuff in there. So like she knows or whatever. But yes, I like that they find.
Or they need the sister. Oh, you do. They need the sister's help breaking in to the basement.
And
right?
then she betrays them.
So yeah. So they, and so yes, is they need to steal dad's keys to get into the basement. Like that's a whole tense thing. Do you know what I mean? Like they got to distract dad and swipe the keys and get into the basement because they're pretty sure they're going to get in there and they're going to find the evidence that he killed mom.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because he got away with a perfect murder.
Yeah. And I like all this, by the way. You're playing a lot. All again, this is all stuff that, you know, would be well written, and you figure it out, and it's hard to kind of explain. But like again, I think a lot of the fun of this too would be like it's the class. Like I don't know how often. Like I find when we are like moving, or like especially when we were like, you know, we would go to my grandparents' house, and like, you know, they're older, and you know, we go up there, and like it's a vacation, but you also weed and you help out and you know clean
do
up
a little
and
maintenance.
Like,
yeah.
And but during that time, like that would be the time where like I would actually like talk to my dad or like my uncles, and you know they take the opportunity to like talk about their, you know, war service or stuff like that. So you'd also get this, like, he is what the, in terms of the personality of the dad, like his goal is he's getting ready to indoctrinate her and reveal what's actually happening.
Oh,
right, like that's also his thing, because he, for his point of view, he's just like, oh shit, she's figuring it out, like guess I'm gonna have to, like, it's time for her to know that she's part of Spectre or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's that sort of element going on at the same time.
Also,
he's like, shit, this boyfriend of hers
is a problem.
He's got to go.
And then at some point, he's like, he's got to go. When they get, when they find the nuke, it's like, right, that would be the thing. They find the nuke and like the sister is actually betraying them, or like the sister knew what was going on.
I think you got it.
The sister just iced the fucking...
I think you have to kill the boyfriend. There's nothing more terrifying than the idea of like, oh, your ally who's been helping this whole time is like, by your second half of the movie is just
dead. Bear with me, you do, they pistol whip the boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then they handcuff the boyfriend to the nuke.
Yes.
And then they're like, you're a teenager, so you can make up your own mind. You can stay here with your boyfriend, or you can come with us and join Spectre. And then you do, like, because then you have that whole tense, like, it's like a dinner table scene with her family, essentially, right? Where they're like trying to convince her to join. And then you do.
And then she says, she convinces them that she's part of them.
Yes. But then she goes back to rescue her boyfriend, right? Yeah.
I love the idea, by the way, that's not dinner that they cooked. It's just like, it's pizza, and they're like all sitting around the table waiting for the guy to show up. And it's like, the pizza.
Oh, the pizza. Yeah, because you always get pizza on moving day.
It's like, the pizza tracker says he'll be here in 2 minutes. We're going to all behave. Right?
We're all gonna be cool, we're all gonna be cool while this, because the dad's got a, the dad's,
he's
got
the pizza
for the,
and the pizza tracker,
the pizza
in his
tracker.
Other hand.
Yeah.
He has the detonator in one hand. It's like, now he pulls up his other hand. It's like, now
we're ready to die for our cause. So
Here's the stupid twist idea.
Okay,
tell me if this is too dumb, but if you just want this to be really dark and cynical, is that, I'll just say the ending and you can work backwards from it, which is the car is driving away. They're all moved as a happy family and the bomb goes off. The person through looking through the back window is not her. It's the boyfriend.
Oh my God.
Like she goes to save him, but it's like, no, he's got the balls. He's the one willing to betray it. And they're like, sorry, honey, this looks like your boyfriend's like the real family material. And it's just this like twisted, fucked up. It's like, no, she was the hero. She's trying to stop it.
Oh my God. I love that. So when she gets back to the house, there's just his bloody stump of a hand in the handcuffs.
Yeah.
And then he's running like hell. And he's like, and so then the family gets to like the corner of the street or whatever, and then he's pounding on the window like, get me the hell out of here.
Oh, I was gonna say, like, literally they adopt him because he's so badass.
I like that. He goes, I love the boyfriend betraying her, and then she's down in the basement with the nuke and it's just ticking down, and then it goes off and he's watching through the window. That's awesome.
It's like, you're the son. Oh, you okay.
You're the son we always wanted.
This is so twisted. You do, whoa. She's got two her and her older sister.
Whoa!
And you do this dark reference where it's like, yeah, he always wished he had a son too. It's like, yeah, you know what, You're the son
I always wanted.
And he smiles and he turns around and looks.
Kaboom! Yes, that's rad. Okay, so the boyfriend gets shackled to the thing.
Whoa!
Right?
This is a dark.
Whoa.
Sorry, everybody. Growing up sucks. Essentially, is the lesson of this. We're all just gonna die.
Okay, that's awesome.
This is a nihilist ass movie.
It's really good though. So how does that mechanism work? So I like that Act 3 builds up to them thinking the dad murdered the mom.
Yeah.
Right, and then, or the dad and the new mom murder the old mom.
Yeah.
Right. And so then they're like, to the sister, like, you got to help us break into the basement. We think there's fucking evidence down there that, like, this is where they've been hiding all the shit that they've been, the mom's body is going to be in this closet.
Yeah.
Right. And then they get in there and then they open the closet and there's a nuke. And then the sister pulls out a gun and fucking pistol whips them.
Yes.
And then they wake up tied to the fucking chair like in Resident Evil 5, and they're waiting for dominoes to come.
That's
so good.
And then you have your act four, like you have your dominoes scene, right? Where like, again, they're all having pizza and they're trying to convince the kids to join them.
Yeah.
Or something like that?
Yes, I would do. I think it builds to, they, all of a sudden the dad realizes, like, yes, she's pretending to be part of it. She's like, why didn't you guys just tell me? I could have understood, sooner. Like, this was not the day I wanted to figure out I'm moving and my boyfriend, like, I'm just really emotional, why didn't you tell me before? They're like, we're sorry.
Agent from next door busts in,
or they're like, okay, prove you're part of this family, kill this boyfriend.
Yes, I was gonna say it gets eventually to that. Like, whether the CIA, I like the neighbor is actually a good escalator. If you're gonna do the neighbor, he should come in or whatever. But yes, it does turn into
the fucking when the pizza comes. Neighbors in the delivery truck or something like that. Like, you realize like that this, the pizza guy is a fucking plant and there's something in the pizza. Do you know what I mean? Like, under the last slice of pizza is a gun. Like, it's a gun taped to the pizza box or something.
That's very good.
Like a knife. Yeah, or something like
But yes, they like kill him or whatever. I was gonna say that it gets to like a Get Out sort of, like, bloody running through the basement, the parents are chasing it. I think it's that final moment where, like, you're either part of this family or not, like, kill him. And then, yes, the boyfriend shoots her in the gut or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, your daughter just doesn't understand, does she? They're like, what? And he's like, I've been listening to you guys. Like, everything you say makes sense. Like, I can join you. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. Well, I think it's got to be
like she is unable to. And then he
yeah.
in cutting off his own hand and trying to join them, is proving himself.
I think he proves himself. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, they tell her to kill him. Like, he's down in the... I like that they leave him in the basement.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And this is great. Is you do... They leave him in the basement, chained up, and then they sit her down for pizza.
Yeah.
Right? And they're telling her, like, and she's trying to convince them, like, you know, like, are they debating about what to do? And she's like, I can do this. Like, come on. And they're like, okay, here's a gun. Go kill your... Here's a knife. Go kill your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Right? And then she's thinking she's going to go down there.
Yeah.
And save him, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you do, like, I don't know, like, there's this, I don't know.
But it would be like she uncuffs him and then he turns around and, like, hits her. It's like, you fucking idiot. Like, sort of thing.
Do you, to me, like, I feel like he needs to betray her out of just naked fear and self-preservation. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's like he's been indoctrinated or anything.
Well,
like
why do they save him?
I think the idea is that they've sent
her. I think this all builds to a denouement where she's got the gun on the family.
Yeah.
And she's like, nobody fucking leaves, disarm the bomb. Yeah. They're like, we can't disarm the bomb. We're all going to die. Yeah. Don't you understand what you're doing? We're all going to fucking die. She's like, then we all die. Fuck you. Right. Like, she's made understand.
I love the idea.
The boyfriend is like, what the fuck? I don't want to die.
Yeah.
He cracks her over the head and picks up the gun and he's like, you guys got room for one more. Let's get out of here.
Because also, by the way, I like that the one thing you do is, like, if you're gonna play the idea that it's like the son I never had, you do that she's all nervous that the dad's not gonna like him.
Yeah.
And he really likes him.
Yeah.
Oh man, he was like the number one quarterback this year. Like, man, he's so fucking cool. Like, he's like, and then when he captures, like, it's a shame my daughter brought you into this, man. Yeah, it's like, seem like a good little soldier, you know, sort of thing. Like, it's just like, it's like so fucked up. This dad just likes always wanted to
By the way, strong American from an acting standpoint, I think the dad never loses his cool. Do you see the entire time? Honey, we can't disarm it. We set this going a week ago.
So I think, you do basically, she goes, okay, so they have the pizza scene. She goes in to bust out her boyfriend. Yeah. They're going to try to escape from the house. The CIA guy shows up and ironically fucks it all up. Like, he cuts the power to the house and they're trying to breach or whatever and it just turns into chaos. They're trying to escape the house. This all leads to a Mexican standoff where she's got the gun on the family. They've got the kid by the fucking throat or something like that. And she's like, I'll fucking kill us all right now. She's got the detonator, right?
Yeah.
Or no, I don't know. She's like, nobody's leaving, right? She's got a shotgun. They're trying to get out the door. And she's like, fuck you.
She's like, turn off the bomb.
And he's like, we can't. The bomb doesn't turn off. And it's like, then I guess
you're not my you're not my family anymore. Turn off the bomb and leave. I never want to see you again.
And and then they're like, we're all going to die. Yeah. And he's like, then we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And then,
honey, I'm ready to blow up this whole town, including with me in it. I was just trying to move our family so we wouldn't be in the middle of the bomb blast. But if you don't want that, then
this is a perfectly acceptable
plan. Go ahead,
hold
up. I'm ready to die for my country. Are you ready to die for yours?
Yeah,
essentially.
So then you do this thing, and then so she is ready to die for her country, but her boyfriend isn't.
Yeah,
and her boyfriend betrays her and knocks her over the head, and he's like, "Let's get out of here."
Yeah,
and then he runs off with her family. He's their new son. They look out, and then you do that shot. She's just in the basement staring at the bomb. She says the Pledge of Allegiance one last time to the flag.
I was about to say, if you're gonna do like a subtle thing too, it's like he would totally not have his hand over the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like busy, like, looking at football stats. She like elbows him.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, he's just a fucking selfish shithead.
So then she puts her hand over her heart right as the bomb goes off.
I stand during the Pledge of Allegiance. God, doing his fancy football league.
So then you do then the bomb goes off and he drives out the window. He's looking out the window.
Yeah,
that's a movie right there, that's dark.
What do we call it? What do we call
Nuclear Family?
Oh my God!
I feel like I've heard like too easy.
I feel like I'm too heard easy nuclear though.
Well, come up with
before.
A better one. All three.
Right. The Pledge. Tweet us some suggestions, guys.
All right. I think we broke this very cool thriller all of a sudden. So when we come back, the elevator pitch.
The Dead Pilot Society podcast brings you hilarious comedy pilots that were never made, featuring actors like Aubrey Plaza, Andy Richter, Paul F. Tompkins, John Hodgman, Adam Scott, Molly Shannon, Busy Phillips, Tom Lennon, Anna Camp, Laurie Metcalf, Alicia Day, Michael Ian Black, Adam Savage, Paul Scheer, Ben Schwartz, Skylar Astin, Mae Whitman, Josh Molina, Ben Feldman, Nicole Byer, Jason Ritter, Sarah Chalk, Steve Agee, Jane Levy, Allison Tolman, Danielle Nicolette, Casey Wilson, Anna Ortiz, Lorraine Newman, June Diane Raphael, Kiernan Shipka, Ed Week, Zach Knight, and Carrie Kenny Silver, John Ross Bowie, Jamie Denbo, Janet Varney, Alexander Forsani, Bruce Summer, Matt Worley, and many more. Listen at MaximumFun.org, iTunes, or wherever you download podcasts.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Story Break. I'm whispering because we're
Whisper Podcast.
Freddy, be quiet. Be quiet, Freddy. Okay, we are in. We are breaking through some enemy lines here because we're getting into the headquarters of Spectre. It's very dangerous. They know Freddy's coming. They don't know I'm here. So if they see me, I'm probably gonna get shot. Now, Freddy, the hope is that Spectre is going to use one of their many billions of dollars they stolen from the U.S. government to finance this movie. He's got to convince them it's a good idea. So here we go. I got the secret code. I didn't let you know it for some reason. Let me just type it in.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Shh. And I gotta start over. Okay. Oh, that didn't work. 1 second.
Oh my god.
Okay, there you go. All right, Freddy. Good luck and hurry up. I don't want to stay out here too long.
Okay. Hey, hi. I'm looking for the cinematic movie pitches department. I have an appointment.
Hello, Mr. Wong. I am Ernst Stavro Scriptfeld. I am the head of the development department here at Spectre. I hear you have a pitch for us.
Yeah,
please
so
step into my elevator of doom. If I do not like your pitch, I will press the button and you shall fall into the shark pit below.
Oh,
so
man.
Please do a good job. I beg of you.
Oh, man. Okay. Hey, how's it going? Hi, Freddy. I got a movie for you. It is a tense one-location thriller. In the vein of sort of Panic Room, where Panic Room meets The Purge. It's about an American, and by the way, because of that, real low budget. You know, this is going to be low budget division. This is kind of like your, you know, a Blumhouse, Spectre House, whatever, right?
I prefer Doomhouse.
But very low budget production. It's about a family. It's about a an American girl named... Freddie quickly pulls out his phone and looks up the Story Break names list. Named Roxanne Bennick, who is moving with her family. Her family's moving out of Colorado, going off, and it's, you know, middle school. It's her last day of school. It's a real pain because, you know, she's moving out. She's getting new, you know, going to have to find a whole new set of friends and getting upended because dad's, you know, got a government job. He's got to go somewhere else and taking the family with him. And her boyfriend from school wants to, you know, come over and help her move and kind of spend some time with her on her final day. And as they're going through and moving things outside, you know, moving things out, she trips over a loose floorboard and discovers
the Lecter machine that decodes Russian communiques, as in from Russia with love.
No, she discovers a time capsule that her
a
mom
time travel capsule that sends her back to 1962 to assassinate James Bond.
No, a time capsule like kind of how school kids do.
I'm most intrigued.
Yes, so it's a shoebox.
Please continue.
And it's a time capsule that her mom has made, and it has a letter to her and the family sort of talking about, and, you know, it's when she was, her mom made it the day she was born so that she would find it later. So she finds it and she goes through the letter, but the picture is not her mom.
Ah!
And the name is someone else entirely. She goes to her dad, she's like, sorry, who was this person? She, you know,
it seems like we're approaching like maybe the first 15 minutes of the movie, and I warn you that the elevator is ascending quite rapidly, so I would suggest maybe picking up the pace if you do not want to become shark food, Mr. Wong.
So she brings it to her dad. Well, and I'm getting to the first act turn. She goes to her dad. The dad says, oh, that's your aunt. However, she goes to her... Back up.
There is no backing up on the elevator of doom, Mr. Wong. Finish your pitch.
She goes to her dad, but the dad lies. And he says he says that it's someone else. And she realizes the dad's lying. She's not sure if dad has killed her mom. And it becomes this tense psychological thriller over the course of moving day as she uncovers her family secrets. And she discovers that dad didn't kill her mom. Her new mom and her dad are Russian spies. Spectre spies.
Spectre spies? At last we arrive to the Spectre of the pitch.
With a dirty bomb set to go off and blow up the entire town.
Ah, very dirty of them.
You should tell them that Spectre wins.
Spectre wins at the end.
Very interesting. It seems like maybe there is a dark familial confrontation, maybe ironically set over a dinner table scene, perhaps, that this movie could build to.
Yes.
Excellent.
But this is an elevator pitch, and I feel like we often go away from what elevator pitches should be.
Oh, how interesting. A lecture on the nature of an elevator pitch from a guy who wasted the first fucking 50 floors of the elevator on the first 10 minutes of the movie.
It's the setup.
Wong,
it's the setup. I apologize to no one.
Mr. Wong, I'm afraid this pitch will send you straight to the Shark Tank.
Nice try, loser. As I fall, I activate my jetpack.
Oh no, I landed in the shark pit on myself and I am falling into the sharks. I still don't want to make your movie.
Nice try, losers. Hey, Matt, I got the jetpack. Hang on, buddy. Grab my foot. Hold on to my foot, Matt.
Freddy, I'll see you.
Hold on to my foot, Matt!
No, I'm hiding. They all see you. There's red dots all over you right
Whatever,
now.
Whatever, loser! I activate the jetpack and fly off of the stratosphere majestically.
Okay, Freddy, roll for dexterity to do that.
All right,
that.
Let's do that. Okay, that's a 4.
Okay, you fail and the jetpack explodes.
Well, that's the end of Rocket Jump.
That's the end of Story Break, the last episode.
Thanks so much for listening. And for those of you who tweet us at RJ Story Break, and for those of you kind enough to leave those iTunes reviews, something that we devour on a daily basis. For those of you who want to use your name, Roxanne, I know you kind of got the short end of the stick there, so let me keep your name on the list. But if you want to hear your name for possible inclusion into a future episode, tweet us at RJ Story Break. We add it to a big old list of names that we tumble through and find when we need names for our characters. And also tweet us all any fan art that you may be generating. Of course, we have very cool fans who come up with awesome posters and fan art from our dumb ideas that we come up with, including from last week, maybe the dumbest idea we've ever done, Yanny versus Laurel or Laurel versus Yanny.
That was a good-ass movie.
That was a good movie.
I'm a big fan.
I loved Laurel versus Laurel, too. I thought it was really fun.
Oh my God.
Hey, that joke forever.
We did get a lot of great fan art this week, so I want to do some quick shout-outs to the Pumpkin Queen, who sent us a really awesome Laurel Yanny story. She did the title card where it's like the cursive that looks like both of them, which
very cool thing, yeah.
The truest love of all is tone deaf, and she also used
very good
the color scheme from the dress, and it's from the makers of the dress. Our friend Alex Lemley Rocket Lex sent in a poster as well. His had the very good tagline. It was and Laurel book one of the Laurel Yanny saga. This all makes sense, which I thought was very, very good. Of course. Downtown Ryan Brown came in with a clutchness this week with our first GIF poster that has this really mind-bending.
That was cool.
Yeah, it's like I stared at it for like 10 minutes. I got lost in it. It's on our Story Break Twitter, so check it out. And maybe don't take any hallucinogens before you look at it, because it's going to blow your mind.
Or just don't take hallucinogens.
Hey, man, life is its own reality.
I get high on hallucinogens and life. All right.
Okay. Our last last very special shout out to Chili with 1L, who sent in a really cool hand-drawn poster for the movie.
Oh, that's cool.
It's actually for the book, which I thought was really interesting.
Of course it's a book adaptation.
Who wrote that book?
Matt Arnold wrote the book.
Very cool.
Which I'm a little offended by, but that's fine, Chili. So
I'm the only name on it.
So it's the New York Times bestseller. She does like the face vase illusion, which is really cool for a Laurel Yanny. So thank you very much to Chili with 1L.
All right, so let's see. One thing I wanted to mention. This week, I showed up. Freddie Wong, your boy, showed up on Who Shot Ya, which is another Maximum Fun podcast. We had a lot. I had a great time on there. I'm sure the co-hosts did too. But I had a great time as their special guest on Who Shot Ya, and we talked about Deadpool 2. So if you want to hear my opinions on that movie, as well as a recommendation for perhaps one of the greatest movies of all time, go on and head over to Who Shot Ya this last episode. And it's a great fun movie podcast. It's also on Maximum Fun. Thank you also to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Thank you to Cameron Covell for slicing and dicing our audio and Sandy on a week to week. And Will,
I have one last thing I want to plug. It's kind of the same shameless self-plug. I wrote a video game. A video game.
God of War?
I wrote God of War. Wow. It just came out. It's pretty good. No, I did a little game jam a little while ago with my sister, Marcy Campos, and one of her friends at USC, Sean Bouchard. And we did a little video game together called From Ivan. And you can play it on itch.io at ndef.itch.io/FromIvan. We'll tweet out the link as well, so you don't have to remember all that gobbledygook. But yeah, it's a fun little 30-minute branching narrative game where you play a human resources manager in a working for a software company in an alternate version of U.S. history where the Soviets won the space race.
Cool.
Well, wrote a lot of very good greeting cards.
Yeah, it's basically the main mechanic of the game is you're picking greeting cards for your coworkers at the software company in Soviet Russia, and depending on what you pick, it changes the branch of the story. So check it out. It's called From Ivan. It's the sequel to Cosmonet, another really good game that Marcy and Sean made. Go check it out.
Well, that's gonna do it for us this week here at Story Break. Won't you join us next week as we entertain your theaters in your minds with our insane hallucinations?
Oh, boy.
But until then, won't
you
go
to
the
very
great
place
that
is
called
your
butt. I'm really good at improv. Did you actually take some improv classes?
Yes,
guys?
And so am I. Bye, everyone.
In a world dominated by dude bro movie podcasts, only one podcast is brave enough to call bullshit. Who shot ya? The podcast that dares to say that white dudes' opinions aren't the only opinions.
If you have a movie pass, like, get a ticket to it to support Taraji, then go home.
Ant-Man seems so unnecessary at this point. Ant-Man is like a ketchup packet too many.
Who shot ya? With Ricky Carmona.
I wanted to see Wolverine kick ass and eat some popcorn and have a good time.
Alonzo Duralde.
Is this Andy Richter?
Yeah!
Oh my God!
And April Wolf.
I love Wild Things because we get to see Kevin Bacon's dick.
Who shot ya? Listen every Friday on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.